Finsider Radio, the Jake and Josh Show, is SB Nation's official podcast about your Miami Dolphins. Check out Finsider.com for more Miami Dolphins content and be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with us on Twitter. Jake can be found at JMendel94. Josh can be found at HOUTZ or just House. The show is made possible by Dolphins everywhere, so be sure to rate and comment, share your thoughts, and let us know how we are doing. Now, let's get on with the show. Well, we said it was going to be a bat game, and the Miami Dolphins got knocked over the head by Jonathan Taylor and the Indianapolis Colts in a 27-17 loss at Hard Rock Stadium, where the Miami Dolphins are outscored by 10 points and are currently winless. To make matters worse, the New York Jets have allowed fewer points this season, and we're stuck questioning the direction of the franchise. Welcome into Finsider Radio. And Josh, I don't know how I can make that sentence, that sequence sound any more bright, joyful than it already is. But how are you doing today, my friend?
I was doing miserable before. Now I'm even doing worse. I mean, I think we told people to, take a step back. We don't have to push the panic button quite yet. I think, Jake, it might be time to push the panic button after what we saw yesterday.
It's such a ridiculous thing for us to think that the Brian Flores way, the system, I mean, they'd be able to straighten things out, especially this early, especially against the quarterback who had two broken ankles, looking like Tommy Pickles out there. But Josh, let's just kind of jump right into it. We're going to try to run through this pretty quickly. We know it wasn't the greatest game. We know we got some kind of garbage time stuff to talk about at the end. But Josh, the first and foremost, the biggest theme of this game that stood out to me, Carson Wentz, he threw just 8 incomplete passes. Josh, when we were talking pregame about what the X factors may be, we kind of said the Dolphins defense was the best unit that was going to be on the field Sunday. Carson Wentz proved that wasn't the case. He missed just 8 passes. He threw 2 touchdown passes. And Josh, it was a pretty rough situation for what seemed to be the Dolphins' strongest unit. Now it's not really looking like that.
No, Jake, and maybe this goes, maybe we should have had a little bit more respect, I guess, for Carson Wentz and kind of remember the type of quarterback that he was at one point. I mean, yes, he was Tommy Pickles, but
we're so low. If we got to say respect Carson Wentz.
I mean, I think it was more so that maybe us as a fan base were just down and thought, Carson Wentz is, bottom of the barrel and this and that. And, he went out there and he managed the game well. And it's kind of easy to do when you do have a running back playing as effective as Jonathan Taylor Thomas was. Averaged 6.4 yards per carry, had that 38-yard carry to start the second half, which was the biggest play for the Colts this season, of course. But, when you have Carson Wentz playing well, Jake, keeping, taking what the defense is giving him, finding those tight ends that had so much success, finding a Michael Pittman who, maybe we should have been, again, more concerned about than we were. When you couple that with Jonathan Taylor did, I mean, it made the day extra difficult for the Miami Dolphins. And it really just didn't seem like the Dolphins defense ever got a good handle on the whole situation from the start of the game to the finish.
You could have just said it was the whole Dolphins defense, Josh, because, I mean, we can look right at Xavier Howard. I think he was targeted 6 times, and Carson Wentz completed 4 of his 6 passes for, 78 yards. And to me, I mean, it's all about the should have, would have, could have. I mean, the Brian Flores defense is known for blitzing the quarterback, making quarterbacks uncomfortable. But, Josh, all throughout that second half, the Dolphins did nothing in terms of pressuring Carson Wentz. I think they only had 2 sacks in the game. But, I think about that Mo Alie-Cox touchdown. I mean, there was only four guys coming in. It just seemed like that the Dolphins, we expected them to kind of return and keep the blitzing, and the penalties would clean themselves up, which they did. But then the identity, they decided to completely change it, which the previous identity would have, it seemed like it would have worked so much better than, letting Carson Wentz sit back there and only rush for when this defense, Andrew Van Ginkle, Jalen Phillips looked okay. These edge rushers are so, so fast, and they're so good at confusing opposing quarterbacks. It seems like the Dolphins didn't test, Carson Wentz at all there yesterday.
No, Jake, and I like how you mentioned Mo Alie-Cox. I mean, his one touchdown, because, I mean, he was the story of this game. I mean, he was just looked like
you can't blame Eric Rowe.
No, I mean, Eric Rowe was in great position. I mean, but Mo Alie-Cox, man, I mean, at the beginning of this game, if you say, which of those players are going to go out there and feast and have those two touchdowns and be the difference maker in this, I mean, I'm sure everyone had Mo Alie-Cox. But you mentioned some of the things they were doing early. I mean, Jalen Phillips was getting to the quarterback early on it. So I don't know why they just scaled back some of his reps there. Would have liked to see more from Javon Holland. I mean, I don't know what it is, and we'll talk about the coaching as it gets further. But I mean, when you came into this matchup, we had to like the way the Dolphins defense matched up against a struggling offense of, you know, the Indianapolis Colts. But the difference maker in this entire thing was Jonathan Taylor. And I don't know about you, Jake, but it just added, it was like adding salt to an injury when you saw Noah Igbinoghi once again being inactive. Thinking about Jonathan Taylor just being one of those running backs, you know, among a crowd of them, you know, Najee Harris this year, CEH, DeAndre Swift. We went on them every podcast. We'll talk about it. But, you know, to see him go out there and have that success, 6.4 yards per carry. I mean, I thought they could have, you know, utilized him even more than they did. But it was just, you know, again, I don't know how the Dolphins, you look at the PFF grades, you look at some of these different things and how well Christian Wilkins is playing. These guys are playing very good up front, but they're also allowing all these yards on the ground. So I really can't put my finger on what the issue is, but it was a long day for a Dolphins defense.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor only got 16 carries. They gave Marlon Mack another 10 carries for 22 yards. I don't know why the Colts did that when Jonathan Taylor was running the ball so well. And you mentioned those big plays. I mean, that looked exactly like the Zach Moss run, or he might have even been Singletary. I tried to block out that Bills game as fast as possible, but it was the same thing on that touchdown run where it just kind of knocked the wind out of the game, Josh, because when you think about it, the Colts didn't pass midfield until there were 5 minutes left in the first half. And that only happened because of a Brennan Scarlett penalty and on an offsides, which I don't understand how you can even let that happen. But, and then you think about the Dolphins, a team that wants to wither away opponents. You think about the Sun. That is exactly what the Colts did to the Dolphins. They just kind of kept running it down their throats, and there was nothing that the Dolphins could do. And once Jonathan Taylor got going and really kind of imposed his will, then you see Carson Wentz come out and start to complete passes, and the offense kind of feeds off the passes and the runs. And it's kind of mind-boggling that there can also be an offense out there that has synergy, because what we've seen from the Dolphins is the exact opposite. And Josh, just watching Jonathan Taylor, I mean, we spoke podcast after podcast about warming up to the idea when the Dolphins were flirting with Aaron Jones. And this running back group just really, really has not gotten the job done, especially when you look at what Jonathan Taylor can do to a Carson Wentz on the other sideline.
No, Jake. And I mean, I guess that was the biggest, one of the most baffling things was to see this game start out right away with Malcolm Brown being, you know, the starting running back. And I know that a lot of us have Myles Gaskin in fantasy, but even from a bigger perspective, I mean, we keep saying how he needs to get more touches. They need to kind of, you know, utilize him to open up that passing game. I mean, I don't know about you, man, but as soon as Malcolm Brown was out there, I was scratching my head. You know, he played 67% of the snaps. Again, he didn't have much success. For whatever it's worth, PFF had him as the Miami Dolphins' highest graded pass blocker, Malcolm Brown with an 81.5. So, you know, when you factor that in,
Chris Greer gem right there, baby.
Yeah, Chris Greer gem. So when you factor that into how the offensive line has struggled, maybe it makes sense to have Malcolm Brown in there for help with pass protection, but I don't know why he's getting some of these. I don't know why he's getting the rock. And I have no idea why he's starting, Jake.
Yeah, he got 8 carries and he got a hefty 2.9 yards per out of it. Josh, Jacoby Brissett ran the ball more times than Myles Gaskin. Brissett ran it 3 times to Gaskin's 2. And Gaskin right there with Malcolm Brown with a hefty, hefty yards per carry total at 1.5. And then Salvan Ahmed topped them both with 3 carries for a total of 1 yard, Josh. And I mean, this is a Colts defense that is incredibly banged up. This is a Colts defense the Dolphins should have been able to take advantage of. Derrick Henry had 113 yards against the Colts. The Dolphins don't have anyone close to Derrick Henry, but hear me out. The Rams cracked 100 rushing yards as a team against the Colts, and they didn't have their best running back, who they lost for the year during training camp. And then you also had Chris Carson run for 91 yards on 16 carries against the Colts. But Josh, the Dolphins proved they deserved this loss. I mean, there were just a lot of head-scratching decisions, starting maybe from the prep during the week to in-game adjustments. There was just a lot of things going wrong for this team.
There was. And I mean, defensively, we kind of can sit here and you put our fingerprint on it. But offensively, Jake, I mean, my God, it's just been an absolute disaster. I mean, we'll talk about the three-headed coaching staff. Maybe it was even more than that. You know, maybe they gave someone else an opportunity to call plays. But I mean, it has just been a disaster, Jake. And when you have your offense not being able to sustain the run, not being able to go out there and really be a factor in a passing game, I mean, isn't that why the Colts did what they did? I mean, they didn't have to worry about, you know, those big plays, because let's be honest, Jacoby Brissett's not even seeing them develop downfield. And they didn't really have to worry about the run game because, like you said, Brissett outrushed Myles Gaskin. So I don't understand it, Jake. I think, you know, this offense is much worse than we ever expected. And a lot of that has to go with their third down efficiency. I'm looking at the numbers right now, Jake. And while the defense played better, only allowing 40% of third down conversions, the offense is only converting 3 of 11. So that's 27.3%. They did convert 2 of 2 on fourth downs. But I feel like when you're down at the goal line, and how many times, Jake, have we been down there where the play calling just makes no sense early on, and then we're getting in those fourth down situations and having to make those plays and are having to see Jacoby Brissett run in there, you know, while things part. So I really can't put my finger on this, Jake, but, you know, before a lot of people wanted to say, you know, they kind of pointed the blame at Tua, and a lot of this was Tua's fault. I mean, we're seeing right now, this is a whole bigger issue than whether or not Tua Tagovailoa is a one-read quarterback or, you know, it's an RPO or this or that. I mean, this offense is in shambles, and it's just concerning because I would think, okay, maybe they hand the duties to Charlie Fry, but, you know, you're starting to hear rumblings that Charlie Fry might have something to do with what's going on right now. So I don't think we'll ever truly know who's at fault, but what we do know is this offense is, you know, direct correlation to how poorly the defense has played can again be put on that offense because they need to be better at sustaining drives and they got to be better at having success because it's been awful early on.
Josh, and you think about, let's say, Madden 2007 when they had the worst thing in the world, that cone, the vision cone. There was a play where Brissett ended up dropping it. They dump it off to Malcolm Brown. And inside that same vision cone is Jaylen Waddle, like 25 yards down the field, wide open. I think it was Devontae Parker on the outside who kind of just took safety with him. I think it was someone at the Miami Herald who shared that play. But that was just one example where you start to realize that it's just nothing is working. You know, the offensive play calling isn't helping the receivers. The receivers have drops. The quarterback can't get the receivers the ball when they should. It is just such a, you know, a logjam of issues that this team has. And it started on the opening drive, Josh. Let's be honest here. Austin Jackson, illegal use of hands, removes a 28-yard completion to Will Fuller on the opening drive. That forced a punt. Additionally, Josh, there was a play where Jaylen Waddle, I think it was 2nd and 6, Jaylen Waddle catches the ball and goes out of bounds after a 5-yard gain. The Dolphins picked up a first down on the following play, but little things like that, you realize that the team isn't 100% focused. I mean, it's a game of inches, and yes, they got the first down, but that's really not the point. You think about the penalties, it just seems like they're not locked in all the time, and when you're not locked in, you're loose, and things are going to fall apart.
And I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing. And I'm apologizing for myself. I can't really speak on Jake's behalf, but yesterday was an absolute cluster of a game. I'm going to censor that out. And this is going to be a cluster podcast, Jake. But I mean, it's just one of the things that irritated me most was, you know, after that muff punt, I mean, they kicked the field goal. And then at some point in that game, you know, we had a chance at a 55 yarder, Jake. I mean, I'm probably skipping ahead at the rundown here. What were they thinking? I mean, and then even at the end of the game, I think Flores' comment was they have this methodical offense. And, you know, we just felt it was best to pin them deep. How was, you know, giving up 3 points better than pinning them deep in the end zone? I mean, did they expect them to go out there and run that double wide receiver screen for a safety? Did he expect to get those 2 points there? I mean, okay, maybe them, but Jake, I just could not understand that. And then at the end of the game, to sit there and say you had faith in your kicker and all the confidence in the world, but to say it was methodical to give up 3 points or even attempt that to pin them deep. I mean, yes, it was down at the 1 yard line. You have to give Pilardi credit for that. And Matt Collins with this crazy little dance, but dude, that shit is crazy. And there's just no answer for it. It just goes back to the Dolphins playing conservative and being scared. They're playing scared. And that's where the fault
Jason
lies.
Sanders is the 4th highest paid kicker in the league, Josh. This Preach. Is a team that has put so much faith into this kicker. To have him go out there just to delay a game is absolutely mind boggling.
And you're at home.
And yes, you're at home, and Josh, more importantly, they pin them in deep, the Colts punt, the Dolphins answer with a punt of their own, and then the Colts score a touchdown. I mean, that's where you have to look
that's
at
so
these
Dolphins.
Things. I tweeted it. After that first field goal, I was like, all right, 7 more of these, and we'll finally be in a game, and the Dolphins didn't even want to kick field goals. It was the same thing in that Buffalo game. I understood them going for 4th down opportunities there, but I mean, you have this great kicker. You need to have some faith. He can get that Justin Tucker 63-yarder that you don't expect to give your team some momentum. That's why you make him such a highly paid kicker. That was such a confusing play call to me, Josh. And that's kind of the thing, you know, we're going to sit here and point at players making mistakes. And then there are just some coaching decisions where you're just like, what on earth is going on? Specifically, Josh, the Dolphins recovered that muff punt. They pushed the turnover streak to whatever, 27. It doesn't really matter when you're 1-3. They give Malcolm Brown the ball with a 2-yard reception. They go to Adam Shaheen on 3rd down, 3rd and 3. There was no chance on that play. You could tell right away that Shaheen just had little, you know, the success rate was non-existent there. Shaheen played 38% of snaps. Malcolm Brown played 67% of snaps. And Durham Smythe played 40% of snaps. And all I have to ask, Josh, is why isn't Mike Gesicki involved? This is a guy who was not targeted until there were less than 2 minutes left in the half. Smythe and Shaheen both got targets before the top tier tight end on this team. One of the offensive coordinators used to be the tight ends coach. There are so many things pointing to why Mike Gesicki is the one of the biggest parts of this offense and how well he can help the offense really move the sticks and get into the end zone. But for some reason, he has just not been a part. And both the last 2 weeks, Josh, they get him involved late. They get Devontae Parker involved late, and they're able to kind of put something together. Yes, it's garbage time, but I mean, when you're not throwing to your top guys, I mean, how do you expect to score points? I mean, Adam Shaheen's your third string tight end. Durham Smythe is your blocking tight end. The Dolphins, it seems like they're trying to outsmart themselves with their usage of tight ends, which is concerning, especially when you consider how great that unit was last year.
Yeah, and it's really concerning. And maybe, you know, I mean, I'm going to make excuses here, but maybe it is some of that pass protection and things like that. I mean, we said that might be why Malcolm Brown starts. You know, maybe that's why, like you said, a Smythe or Shaheen are getting some of those reps, but it still doesn't make sense. I mean, when you have that playmaker, you know, when you realize how much different, and I don't want to say game changing because his price tag might go up, but I mean, Mike Gesicki is a very good pass catcher in the league, and he is a mismatch maven, and the way the Dolphins have utilized him is absolutely frustrating. Jake, you threw Devontae Parker out there. I mean, that's the same way. I mean, we talked about a little bit how he might be the unicorn of this group. I mean, this guy is a bona fide number one wide receiver. When you see him in those mismatches, I mean, he goes up there and gets the football. He makes those plays that you expect out of your dominant, I mean, quote unquote, number one wide
receiver. And they're not easy plays. Like, we shouldn't expect most receivers to make these plays. I mean, there's maybe 10 guys in the league who will do it, but that's like what they have in him. I just wanted to clarify.
Sure. And that is exactly what they have in. And that's why, you know, when you see those one-on-one matchups, when you see those chances, you need to take them. And again, I don't know why they just start to open things up later in the game. Maybe it's a play calling thing. You know, maybe at some point they say, okay, well, you're not calling plays anymore. We now need to get a spark with you. I don't know, Jake. Again, we might never know, but to not get Mike Gesicki more involved, to not get Devontae Parker more involved. I mean, we saw Jalen Waddle, man. Jalen Waddle had three catches for 33 yards earlier in that game. And I think he had a long 18 once he broke off that big play. I don't think they even targeted him after that. I mean, maybe the defense,
one target after that,
maybe the, yeah, maybe the one. Defense took some of that away, but at the end of the day, I mean, I just think it was more Brissett not letting those routes develop and honestly not seeing it. Again, it was that AJ Feely vision code, but again, I think, you know, while we're sitting here again pointing the finger, well, no, now we are pointing the finger right at the coaching staff, aren't we, in their usage? And I think that is kind of the right approach, at least from offense, but then that all stems back to Brian Flores. And is he capable of fixing the offensive unit? I don't know if he is, Jake. And I mean, that might be what ultimately sends him packing, as painful as that is to say.
Josh, I just want some urgency, some effort. And I think that's kind of why I'm trying to ride with guys like Gesicki and Parker, because going back to that Shaheen play where I think he was running a seam right down the middle. I mean, he was bracketed by a linebacker and was kind of just pushed and nope, that ball's not going to you. I mean, these are two guys who put their bodies on the line in Parker and Gesicki. They're going to do what they have to get the first down. They're not going to go, oh, darn, you know, I missed it, move on to the next down. I mean, they're going to fight tooth and nail. And that's just something we're not seeing from a lot of the Dolphins. And I think that does start with the coaching staff. It's a frustrating thing, especially Josh, going back to Jalen Waddle. He has that first play where, you know, it kind of bothered me, the second and six, he goes for 5 yards. But then for the first time ever, Josh, with those two receptions, he was catching him near the first down marker and then making a guy miss. I said out loud to myself, we finally have Waddle being Waddle. It looks like he's confident. It's looking like he knows the speed and the talent he has where he can make someone miss. So what the Dolphins do is they target him one last time this game, and that is it. Also, Josh, I want to bring up that Tua was pulled in worse games, and this is something I tweeted, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I thought Reed Sinnett would have a better game. What it means is I'm just praying that I wish this team would do something to show, like, there's some urgency with these guys. Everyone all of a sudden is competing for their job. I don't think anyone is safe all of a sudden, and to see them just kind of keep rolling over and try the same move, to have Jakeem Grant have one reception for -8 yards, I mean, That shows a team that it doesn't feel the heat that they should be feeling.
Yeah, and again, I don't know what it is. You know, maybe all these rumors that continue to circulate and all these different things, maybe there is some tension, obviously, in the locker room. But I don't understand, Jake. You can go off about him going short of that first down and his first catch. I mean, I think I was a little upset too when Waddle, you know, ran out.
It's nitpicky, but like, it's still just one of those things we've seen in these first 4 weeks of those mental errors that, like, the Dolphins won 10 games last year by having none of those, by being so locked in every week. And that's what we thought the Brian Flores vision was.
Yeah, and that's what I guess what's so frustrating. And again, I got to tip my hat to you, or at least give you credit, because, you know, every time we'd sit here and get excited and, again, get one step ahead of ourselves, you would say, you know, well, how's this any different than Adam Gase? So, yes, you know, we're nitpicking, but you want to see more.
Offense is the same right now.
Yeah. 100%. Oh, man. Yeah, the offense might actually be, well, I'm not going to say worse, but.
you might be right, though. You might be right. We won't say it, but acknowledge it.
Yeah, Jake, and I just want to throw it out there. Will Fuller, I guess, did sustain a hand injury. It sounds like I think they're going to do more tests on that. So who knows his status? But even when that happened, Jake, you're just sitting there like, okay, really? Oh, another Will Fuller injury. Are we really surprised? Yeah. The Jakeem Grant thing, I must have missed that because that was just so frustrating when I went back and saw the highlight of that. That is exactly why we wanted to send him straight to the moon way back when.
He had the muff punt and then that reception, the shovel patch. I mean, everybody in the world knows it's coming, especially like when you see Durham Smythe and you see Adam Shaheen, and most of the time they're running the football. And then the Dolphins try to think, well, they think we're going to run the football, so let's throw it to our guys who are going to catch it for 2 yards and get tackled. It just kind of seems like they're outsmarting themselves. And then the Colts go on, they score on each side of the half. And that's really where the game quickly became out of hand, Josh. The clock management before half was horrible. The Dolphins were using timeouts just to let Jacoby Brissett get sacked at the end of the half. Brissett later in the game gives the ball away just by yeeting it at the ground. And before he just launched it into the ground for a fumble, I had enough time to say, throw it away about 6 or 7 times to myself out loud. So that there is concerning.
Yeah, Jake, one of the things I really want to throw out there, and it was kind of funny, but I took a picture of it. And at one point, Jonathan Taylor had 110 yards, and Miami's offense total had 74 yards. And I mean, that was just, you know, the story of the day, just the Dolphins, I guess, too little, too late. And again, I just think the biggest disappointment of it all is that we knew that this had to be the back game. We said they had to come in here and lay the wood. They got their ass kicked, but, you know, they did it well, remembering Don Shula in the white throwbacks. I mean, yes, he was a Baltimore Colt, but I mean, it felt like it was just a kick right in the face. And, you know, maybe that's what the Dolphins need moving forward. But when they got the Tampa Bay Bucs coming to town, I don't know if it, I don't know, man.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. We're a quarter of the way through the season, and we're going to go through some final thoughts, and I'm going to end with a positive one. This has been all doom and gloom, and as it should be. I mean, that was absolutely embarrassing. The quotes afterwards were absolutely embarrassing. Jakeem Grant, absolutely embarrassing. That's one of my final thoughts. And Josh, when I was watching the 4 o'clock games, I realized this season isn't about winning the AFC East. It isn't about making the playoffs. Those goals are fantastic to have, and the Dolphins have them. But the Dolphins need to have a better record than the 49ers because of the draft picks that were traded. The Dolphins have the 49ers pick. They traded away their own. So if the Dolphins have end up being like a top 10 worst team in the league, get a top 10 pick, and that pick is an Eagles pick, and we have San Fran that's like 25th, I don't know how this organization keeps everything in place. And this is way too early. This is about as deep in the doom and gloom I'm going to go. But if this team wins like 4 games, 3 games, I don't think that's going to happen. If that's the case, I want to plant my flag in the ground right now and say, if the Dolphins are one of the worst teams in football, give me Kellen Moore.
Give Jake Kellen Moore. I'll throw a name out there at the end. But Jake, I mean, I think, again, the biggest thing that's so frustrating to me is just over 3 years, the offense has not gotten better, you know, and you brought in.
It's gotten worse. Statistically, it's gotten worse.
And instead of bringing in a coordinator, for whatever reason, we couldn't bring in an outsider. They'd promote it from within. And it just looks like there's no focus. And it's just a testament to your head coach, man. And I think, you know, while we sit here, I think the biggest thing to me is I realize, you know, everyone wants to trade for Deshaun Watson. This thing is much bigger than Deshaun Watson. I don't know that he's going to come in here and turn this offense around. Yes, they'd be much better because he's a talented player. But again, we won't get into that.
Josh, I do want to ask, is this crazy if I was to ask you if you would trade a second round pick for Saquon Barkley? Would that be crazy?
No, I think, again, my biggest concern would be that the Dolphins might not know how to utilize him when he gets here. And, you know, Malcolm Brown would still be starting over him. But I do think a game changer like that could be the difference. And, you know, I guess maybe that's why it's so frustrating to just sit here and say, you know, oh, all we need is this running back. You know, all we need is this play caller because we've been doing it for so long. So I just want to see more, Jake. I want to see someone take accountability for this offense because it's not just the players. It's more so the coaching. And I just, again, it goes back to Brian Flores, and I just don't know if he can turn it around where the next step is. Because you mentioned Kellen Moore, but I'd love to keep Brian Flores. But how many times have you brought in a GM? You know, they have to get rid of Chris Greer in this situation. They bring in a GM and, you know, you patch him with a head coach and it just doesn't work out. So I feel like as much as I want to pin the blame on Chris Greer and say, get rid of him, by doing that, you got to get rid of Brian Flores. And in that point, you know, we're in that same cycle, Jake. And I don't know if you saw that tweet, but I want to throw that out there because it was just hilarious. Someone posted this meme and it starts with the Dolphins get a new coach GM. Then they have a mediocre start. Then they beat New England somehow. Then they miss the playoffs. Then they draft high players. Then they make compelling roster moves. Then they lose to bottom feeders. And then there's a regime change. And it's just over and over. It's the nonstop cycle. And that's what we're going through. So you planted your flag on Kellen Moore. If I have to pick an offensive guru, and it's not Joe Brady, I would go with Eric Bieniemy. He was kind of that guy I really wanted back when Flores, you know, when we first approached Flores, I would stick it with Eric Bieniemy. But again, he's probably headed to USC or somewhere.
And that is, we are the carriage is so far in front of the horse here. That is like the darkest of the dark scenarios.
But we're getting closer. We are getting closer. I mean, we were on the other side of the fence, I thought, at least last week. I'm starting.
Our foot is on the water. Yeah.
We're getting ready to push that panic button pretty damn soon.
Especially, you're 100% right, Josh. And I don't think the Bucks game is the panic. I think it's going to be like what Joe Philbin had. Is somebody going to be left in London? Is somebody going to be left in London? But Tua's coming back. I think that's going to be the, if there's ever been a get right week, that's going to be it. Josh, my little glimpse of hope for the Bucks game, since we were so negative, I got to throw this out here. The Patriots were 7-for-7 when targeting Richard Sherman, and the Bucks defense, the secondary, looks absolutely brutal. If the offensive coordinators can solve the hardest problem in the world, and that's throw the ball to Mike Gesicki and Devontae Parker, I legitimately think the Dolphins might have a shot. I think it has to be a gross shootout. I think you have to say to Jacoby Brissett, if you throw three interceptions, you throw three interceptions, and you hope that Xavier Howard, Byron Jones, these guys can get them. Because that secondary, the Dolphins aren't going to be able to run the ball. They can't run the ball. I think the Patriots, did I see -2 rushing yards on the day? I saw some crazy number about how bad the Patriots running backs were against the Bucks. And I'll tell you this, the Dolphins won't be any better. So if all the offensive coordinator firepower in the world can't uncover the fact that Mike Gesicki and Devontae Parker might have some major matchups next week, then we can start getting really concerned. But that's my glimpse of hope. I think the matchup is there for the Dolphins to punch some air next week. I guess I'll say that.
To not lose by 3 touchdowns is what you meant to say, Jake.
Exactly.
You try to leave us on a bright note, but Ian Rappaport just tweeted from NFL Now, Dolphins' Will Fuller broke a finger in Sunday's loss and is expected to be week to week. So Will Fuller's out. You know, you can take a shot if that's one of those things, or you got bingo maybe, but I just don't know, man. I just think, you know, if they didn't come out firing on all cylinders against the Colts, or, you know, feeling a little bit you know, back against the wall, why are they going to do it the this week in Tampa? I mean, I just don't get it. Those are the reasons. Go out there and take chances.
But wouldn't it be so Dolphins? You lay these eggs and then you go to somehow Tampa beat the Bucks.
Yeah, it would be so
I think there's a couple tweets out there. Like, I have one where, like, they lost the 2 bad teams. I'm like, they're going to beat the Titans and Steelers. And they ended up doing it or something.
And then they beat the Bucks, and we're all saying, oh, we're going to see you again in the Super Bowl, bitches. You know, that's just how Dolphin fans are.
And then they lose in London, and everyone's fired.
Yep, and then we're right back. Fire Flores. And, you know, we're here for it. That's what our podcast
is. Hamster wheel, man. Just going over and over.
That's what our podcast is, guys. Look forward to it for sure.
That is all we have. Josh, I'm so happy we got to end this laughing, because things are miserable, but it seems to be that everyone's on the same page, that everything sucks and everything's the worst. So let's be the worst together. Let's laugh about it and have some fun. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know the Dolphins aren't the greatest team to talk about, to read about, but here we are. We're going to keep doing it. We hope you guys continue riding with us. For the Jake and Josh Show, my name is Jake Bendel, Joshua Houts. We'll talk to you next time. And most importantly, fins up.
Fins up.
FinSider Radio, part of the FinSider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. The greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.